All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Happy Wednesday morning. It is March the 3rd, and it is good to be together. We are looking at Psalm 140 together, which means we're heading into the last group of Psalms, right? We go to 150, and that's the end. So we're enjoying our time in the Psalms. We've been blessed by it, and we're looking forward to continuing in it. This morning's Psalm, Psalm 140, brings us back to a reality, a theme that's been repeated throughout the Psalms, and that is the reality that we deal with enemies. We have very real enemies who intend us harm and are threatening us, surrounding us, harassing us, attacking us every day. And we need to understand who those enemies are, and we need to understand what they're all about, and we need to understand how to go to God as our refuge and our strength in the face of our enemies. So that's what we'll be looking at in Psalm 140 today, which is another Psalm of David written to the choir master. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. We thank you for being good to us and blessing us in ways that we don't deserve and don't even take notice of. You are blessing us in a thousand different ways, moment by moment, by sustaining us and guarding us and keeping us and building us up and protecting us and guiding us. You're so faithful and you're so good. We can trust you. We can trust you because you are trustworthy and because you love us. You love us far more than we could ever even begin to imagine. So, Father, we pray that you would be with us today, that you would help us to focus our hearts and minds on you and on your word, and that you would teach us today, that you would build us up in Christ and help us to glorify you in the way that you order our steps and lead us by your Spirit today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 140. As I said, it is written to the choir master. It is a Psalm of David. It's another one of these where it obviously comes out of David's very personal experience and even severe distress, and yet out of that, he writes a song for the people of God to sing together because he knows he's not the only one who deals with powerful and deadly enemies. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Selah. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. Selah. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. Selah. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. Amen. What a great psalm. Let's just look quickly at an overview of the outline of this psalm. The first part of Psalm 140 is a cry to God regarding the enemies. And the enemies are identified, and their plans and their plots and their aims are exposed before God. And the plea is, deliver me, O Lord, guard me, O God. And the focus is on the enemies. and what they are doing and what they are planning to do. And then the focus shifts to a focus on the Lord. Notice that in these three verses, we get the name of the Lord, Yahweh, four times. And David has shifted his focus away from his enemies to being focused on the Lord himself. And then there comes the imprecatory request. We've talked about imprecatory before. It's when you're asking God to bring down evil people. When you're asking God for justice, for God to act against the wicked. So that's the prayer of imprecation, the imprecatory prayer part of the psalm. And then it ends with a quiet confidence, a statement of faith and hope in the Lord. And notice that these are future. David hasn't yet gotten the outcome that he's looking for when he writes these final lines. He's trusting God for the future deliverance that he's going to bring. So David had enemies. And here's the reality. You and I have enemies too. And there is benefit in knowing who our enemies are and what they are up to. David was pursued by evil men, violent men, who were planning evil things in their heart, who were stirring up wars continually. They were attacking him with their words. That's what they make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of us. So they're conspiring against him, they're slandering him, they're rallying people against him. And they are violent. He says twice, they're violent, preserving from violent men. They're wanting to kill him, right? This is not anything less than a politically treasonous plot where there are people who are conspiring together and wanting to kill David. We have enemies, and they are conspiring together, and they speak lies, and they are trying to kill us. Do you believe that? I wonder how that strikes you when I say that this morning, but that's true. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We talk about those three as our enemies, but I wonder how well we understand them. I wonder how seriously we take them, and I wonder how desperately we cry out to God to deliver us from them and guard us from them. Our flesh, the enemy within, it rages within us. It desires things that would destroy us. I'm reminded of sobering things, like the stories that came out about Ravi Zacharias within the past couple of months. Other men of God who have fallen from positions of authority and leadership within the church because of the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Our flesh wants what it wants, and it is intent on getting that even to our own destruction and hurt. The world around us offers everything our flesh desires and tells us, you deserve it. You've earned it. You've been so good, this will be a great little reward for you. And all sorts of things like that that the world holds out to us. This will make you feel better. This will give you peace. This will give you true joy. This will give rest to your weariness. And what they offer are immoral things, things that break God's law, break God's heart, and would break us. And you see, behind our flesh and behind the world is Satan, the devil, the tempter and accuser of God's people. He's the one who tempts us to sin, and he's the one who accuses us and heaps shame on our head in our sin. He is the enemy of our souls, and he uses our flesh, and he uses the world, and sometimes he hurls his own fiery darts. You know what his voice looks like? His fiery darts that come are doubts and accusations against the goodness of God. Did God really say? Remember that he said that in the garden? Doubt. And then he doesn't want you to eat this because on the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. That's an accusation against the character of God. So when there are doubts about God or accusations against the character of God, those are coming from Satan. And what do we do with that? What do we do with that information? We go to God. We go to God and we say, Lord, I know, whether I feel it or not, whether I'm aware of it or not, I know that I am in fact surrounded by deadly enemies, enemies within, enemies without, both natural and supernatural. They are plotting my destruction. Deliver me, O Lord, O Yahweh, O faithful, unchanging, all-sufficient, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am who I am. Deliver me, O Lord. Guard me, O Lord. And then we need to get our eyes on the Lord and not just ask Him for deliverance, not just ask Him to guard us, but focus our hearts and minds on Him. I say to the Lord, You are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. So the Lord, Yahweh, is my God, my Elohim, my mighty one, my strong and powerful one. O Lord, my Lord, He is my Adonai, He is my Master. So the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, the great I Am, is my God, my strong and mighty one, and He is my Lord, my Adonai. He is the strength of my salvation. He is the covering of my head in the day of battle. The helmet of salvation, remember that from the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the helmet of, there's the word salvation, right there in verse 7, the strength of my salvation have covered my head in the day of battle. What's the Hebrew word for salvation? The name of Jesus, Yeshua, right? Jesus is my covering, covers my head in the day of battle. And that's where a lot of the battle takes place, doesn't it? It takes place right up here, right? With false self-talk and hearing false things from the world and false things that Satan plants, thoughts that he throws at us. And so we need God, Jesus, our righteousness, the truth, our life, our Redeemer, our salvation to cover our head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot or they will be exalted. This is the reality, is that there are people in the world who make their living and who make their position, right, out of wickedness, out of plotting evil, and out of attacking God's people. But they're not the real problem. The problem are the forces that are behind them, that are using them as pawns in this attack. So then there is the imprecatory prayer. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits no more to rise. Do you know that that's going to happen to the enemies of our soul? They are going to be cast into fire, into the lake of fire. Satan, the beast, the false prophet in Revelation, in many ways, without getting too much into a very deep and complicated book, the beast in Revelation represents the false God-denying political power structures of the world, and the false prophet represents the false God-denying ideological, religious, spiritual structures in the world, and the sort of the forces that are behind them. They're all going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The devil and his worldly minions are all going to be cast into fire. So when we're praying this, if you think about it, when we're praying this, it's another way of praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Deliver us, rescue us, bring final justice. When's that going to happen? When Jesus returns. And so we're praying here for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're trusting Him. At the end of it all, we rest. We rest in confident hope in the Lord. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for their needs. You know, he does that in this life in various ways. His providential care of his people in the midst of a troubled world is very real and very powerful. And so God does that in this world, in the midst of this world. But ultimately, of course, he's going to do this when Jesus comes again. And on that day, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the upright shall dwell in your presence. Ultimately, I think the upright shall dwell in your presence and cast them into fire and miry pits. Psalm 140 is pushing us to a hope that is fulfilled only at the second coming of Jesus. But we can have foretaste of that hope even in this life. Because even in this life, we have reason to give thanks to God's name. Even in this life, we have reason to rejoice in his goodness. And even in this life, his presence is in us by the Holy Spirit. And when we gather together with his people, we dwell in his presence in worship. So we can use this to look forward to Sunday morning worship. And we can also use it to look forward to that one great gathering that is coming when the Lord Jesus comes again. Psalm 140. It's a very helpful psalm for dealing with the reality of our enemies. Don't live as if you have no enemies, because they are attacking you all the time. And the question is, are you aware? And are you crying out to God? Or are you just blindly stumbling your way through the day, thinking that, you know, it's just you on your own, just whatever. Go to God about your enemies and focus on the Lord, who is our God and our Lord, and the strength of our salvation, and the one who covers our head in the day of battle. And then trust in the Lord that he will order things according to his goodness, and that the day is coming when all wrongs will be made right and all our enemies will be vanquished forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have made us your own dearly loved children, and you watch over us and you keep us. And so we pray, Lord, that you would guard us and deliver us, O Lord, from our enemies, who are very real and who are very intent on attacking us, destroying us, if they can. But they cannot, because we are safe in your hands. But that is not a call to complacency. It's a call to confident expectation and hope, and to continually crying out to you for protection and deliverance. So let us not be complacent, and let us not be given to despair either. For you are our God, and you are our Lord. And we look to you in hope of what you will do for us today, and in hope of that great and coming day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for being with me. We'll be in Psalm 141 on Friday morning, Lord willing. That's the plan, to gather together. And I'm looking forward to that. And I hope you have a great and blessed day in the Lord.